Thanks for listening in to this episode of Power Lunch. The FM Power Lunch is an opportunity for us to talk about how our faith can go to work. We explore ideas by interviewing different people and learning from others about how our faith and work intersect. We're glad that you can listen in and hope that you'll join us in person sometime. Learn more at bethelfc.com/powerlunch.
Friends, I'm so excited to have with me today my very good friend, Sung Kim, the owner-operator of Fargo's Chick-fil-A. And I want to start with a story because it's something that's very personal to me. During a time of challenge, my wife's health was such that she had to be very careful about what she ate. And this was in 2002, before it was cool to be gluten-free. And Chick-fil-A was one of the only places in Dallas, Texas at the time that we could regularly find food that was safe for her. And we began to get to know the Chick-fil-A owner-operator. His name is Jeff White. And he ministered to us, like you saw in that video. It became a third place for us where we felt safe and we were able to get to know people and really became another home away from home. And we fell in love with the brand, and then God called us to Fargo, North Dakota in 2009, and we suffered. Not the snow, not the other stuff, but it was the lack of what Chick-fil-A, the values we brought, and we were so delighted when I believe God brought Chick-fil-A to Fargo. And so I'm very biased in this love, but Sung, when I met you this November and you came to Fargo, your friendship has meant so much to me, and I can't wait for people to hear about how God uses your platform for the good work that he has called us to do. My friend Sung Kim tells me he's only 30 years old, but one of the things that you'll hear in his story is that that's hard to believe. You have lived a lot of life. And so, Sung, I would like to start with just inviting you. What drew you to the opportunity of leading the Chick-fil-A in Fargo, North Dakota?
Wow, that's a great question. I think Fargo, North Dakota, I started this Chick-fil-A journey in 2019. That's when I graduated college. It's been about a year, and I was running out of immigration status in the United States. So I had about 60 days to either leave America, and my friends would introduce me to a show called The 90 Day Fiancé. So find a wife to get married to within 60 days, or find an American company that's willing to sponsor me the immigration benefits to stay in the US. So my whole biggest thing was I grew up in Cambodia as a missionary family. My parents are missionary folks in Cambodia. And so my biggest heart coming to America was to go back to Cambodia. I wanted to be a lawyer fighting against the human trafficking that was so prevalently big and huge in Cambodia. And before I left the country, I had 60 days. I traveled to Alaska to work at a summer camp. My friends would always say, "Son, you would love working at a summer camp." And there I really felt in love with the high school students with America. Like, wow, like these kids are so great. But also underlying the smiles of our kids was a lot of depression and loneliness, lack of clarity in what they want to do in the future. And I was just like, maybe there's a reason why the Lord firsthand called me to America. And that's when I started to pursue. And around those time, Chick-fil-A came to my vision. I got an email from my college professor saying, "Hey, Sung, like, there's a guy in Washington, D.C. opening up a Chick-fil-A, and he's looking for someone who has a heart for this growing teenagers," which a lot of our workers are teenagers, "and who's business-oriented." And I took on the opportunity to move to D.C. And you mentioned about Fargo. So that's kind of how I started the Chick-fil-A journey. Fast forward, I realized that I wanted to be a Chick-fil-A operator, that this was it, that I can be part of people's journey. And so I was roaming through this, becoming an operator, and last year I got selected to be an operator, but not a location specific. Hey, you're qualified to be an operator, now you have to apply for a location specific. And my heart was either Indiana, where I graduated college, or in Washington, D.C., where I lived this past 7 years of my life. And the Chick-fil-A came and say, "Well, Sung, how about Fargo?" And let that question just sit in you guys. And my whole attitude was like, my first question is, when Chick-fil-A asks you something, you always smile. And it's like, "Fargo? Where is that?" was my first question. However, I came, so when Chick-fil-A asked me that question, about a week later, I came here, with a friend of mine named Owen. And I was like, Owen, let's go to Fargo and check this place that Chick-fil-A is asking me to come. Apparently, it's in North Dakota. And so we arrived at an airport at Sioux Falls because there was no direct flight from DC to here. So we checked out Sioux Falls and we're like, Sioux Falls is actually kind of nice. And we checked some places and we picked up the rental car and we move up to Fargo. And I remember seeing Owen and I was like, Owen, we don't even need to check. Let's just skip Fargo. And so we took off because it was way too cold. I'm a tropical boy from Cambodia. My life was summer until I came to America. And no exaggeration, when I visited in last February, it was negative 25 degrees. And for me, 25 degrees is way too cold for me, let alone negative. But as time passes, I visited again and again and again, and I met a couple of different leaders in the summer. I met James Saylor, who was leading young adults here. I met Nate Safe, who was leading FCA during the summer. And it just felt like the Lord, and I kind of fasted and I walked around the NDSU campus and the whole downtown, and I kept on feeling the word expand the horizon. Maybe it's a very young city. There's a lot of college students, MSUM, Master's Baptist, Concordia, NDSU, even part of University of Jamestown here. And I just felt so compelled to develop and invest in our next generation. And the word that I got was expand the horizon. And so the Lord started to give me a heart to develop a Fargo up to a point towards the end of my interview. Chick-fil-A said, Sung, if you tell us wherever you want to go in America, we'll give you this store. And I said, nope, it's Fargo. Like, I feel so strongly called. I have a love for this city. And with great confidence now, I say Fargo is home. It's great. I love it. I love the people. I love the community. I love the culture. And so it's a pleasure to be here. Yeah.
I'm so glad you said yes. How many of you moved to Fargo from somewhere else, more than 4 hours away? You are not alone, brother. Lots of us have been welcomed in to this great place. Fargo is a special place. Mm-hmm. What are some of the things that you most love about Fargo now that you've been here for, is it 6 months?
Yeah. I'm not going to sugarcoat it. I do not like the cold. It's very cold. 100% definitely the culture and the people. And back in Washington, D.C., if I want to plan a game night, hey, guys, in 3 weeks, we're going to have a game night tonight. And I'll invite 20 people. Maybe 4 people will show up. Here in Fargo, if I send out a group text, guys, I'm going to cook some Korean barbecue and game night tomorrow, and if I invite 10 people, probably 9 people would show up. I love that Fargo neat community and the tightness that we have. And so that's been, I feel like that's just one most outstanding thing about Fargo.
It's been really fun to see your network of friends grow and to see how you're welcomed there. I want to talk about a couple of different things, starting with the career a little bit. Some people may not be aware of just how challenging it is to apply to be a Chick-fil-A operator and be selected. Do you remember the percentage? I was trying to find it on the internet and it wasn't real reliable. What's the percentage, like, of the number of people who apply versus who are actually selected to be an operator?
I feel like I'm bragging about myself when I say these numbers. But they say it's about, when I was applying in 2022, they said it's about 80,000 to one.
80,000 mm-hmm. to one. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That's significant. Yeah. That's like maybe getting I don't know. That's,
I mean,
wild.
If I can break through it, I think there's a chance.
Yeah. And it was interesting to me as I began to read more about Chick-fil-A's history. The franchise model is different, too. Could you explain that to folks and what's the value behind the uniqueness of a Chick-fil-A franchise model?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So a lot of people, when I first became an operator, there would be a lot of millionaires and investors and financial investors coming and say, Son, like, oh, your new operator, like, let us help you manage your $1 million portfolio. And I was like, I wish I had a percent of that. One of the reasons why it's so high in terms of Chick-fil-A, the competitive nature of Chick-fil-A operator is, if you want to open up a McDonald's, sometimes, it depends on the location, but it costs you about $500,000, $800,000 as a starting cost, and they want to see like a $2 million liquidable fund in your account. Chick-fil-A requires you everything from the beginning to the end, $10,000. It's a licensure fee mainly for yourself to license your store. To buy the franchisee agreement is $10,000. And the way how they do this is the corporate supports and sponsors everything. Their whole philosophy behind this is that we would rather choose someone who aligns with our value and pay them for to open their store rather than anyone who has the financial means to operate a restaurant. And that's the biggest franchisee model that Chick-fil-A has. We do have a little bit of a higher share with the support center and the corporate, but there's a lot of ways that beyond that share that we give back to Chick-fil-A that we are cared for and are supported by. And I don't think there's any operator or owner who are like, oh, we feel like we're being cheated. We actually feel like whenever I am with Chick-fil-A, I'm like, wow, they're sending us a new ice machine. They're sending us new systems and machines. I'm like, wow, this is a $100,000 equipment that they're just providing to us. Yeah.
Yeah, it's a really unique model in the marketplace that your values matter more than some of the other things you might bring. Jeff White, that owner-operator, I was checking in, he's still running with Chick-fil-A.
Yeah.
You know, so almost 25 years later, he's still going. Mm-hmm. And still speaks about how it was the greatest thing for him. What have you appreciated most? Because they say in the video that local ownership is a real value for them. What have you enjoyed about that reality, about being a local business owner in our community?
Yeah. Something that still brings tears into my eyes is that I get to be part of someone's journey, and whatever that journey is. Whether it's high school students going to college, or whether there's someone who's going through really difficult times, or whether it's someone celebrating great things. We recently celebrated a scholarship to some of those folks who won a very competitive award. She's actually sitting here with us, Ruby Nelson, that I get to be part of their journey. And it's just so life-giving for me to see other people flourishing through the organization that I get to work with. And it's just such a unique privilege as an operator to go through that. Yeah.
I love that. It's been fun too to visit with you about just how this community has embraced the brand and the opportunity there. You know, I think a lot of the leaders that are in the room here can appreciate one of the challenges that I've observed as your friend and somebody is that you're often asked for a lot of things. I think much like your investment guy thinks, well, you own a Chick-fil-A, you must have millions of dollars of liquid assets. I think people kind of maybe think like, oh, Chick-fil-A, how do you process some of those challenges that come up when people say, hey, will you donate to my cause? Will you support my cause? Because I think that's actually common for a lot of us. I mean, we have a room full of people who raise their hands and say, I will help, I will serve. And I'm just curious, like from where you sit, what goes through your head? How do you evaluate that stuff?
I think it's such a privilege to be able to be a blessing. I think it's just so fun. Even 2 weeks ago, one of our team members that I get to work with came and said, Sung, like I volunteer and I give to a local women's care center, and I really want to do a baby's drive. Let's get something together. Can Chick-fil-A donate something? And we're like, okay, like Jocelyn, we can commit to 150 coupons and sandwiches for this cost. This is awesome. And it's such a blessing to see high school students come out and be part of this great cause that Chick-fil-A get to be a part of. Sometimes there is an identity crisis where when people reach out, we do get about anywhere from 35 to over 150 donation requests every month. We get a bunch of mails every day from different schools, different organizations. I get a bunch of emails, personal texts, personal emails. There's so many things that comes up. Hey, son, we're doing this. Would you sponsor this? Would you do this? And sometimes there is an identity crisis of like, oh, like, where am I in this? Like, do people see me as a source of chicken sandwiches or lemonade, or do people see me as Sung Kim? So there is often that identity of like, okay, where do I stand here? And when people approach me, like, oh, are they approaching me because of Chick-fil-A or for myself? Like, because they want to build a genuine relationship. But I think even this past weekend, I got a chance to just ponder and just rest on that fact that it's a blessing that people can find after me and say, hey, there's a Chick-fil-A. Would you be a blessing to us? The fact that people are reaching out to us, it has, I'm going to be very vulnerable here, it has been a burden, but it has started to turn into a joy. There's this many organizations that's willing to partner with us, and we get a privilege to pray and discern what organization that we can partner with and serve the community together. Like, that is awesome. Like, that is sick.
That is one of your key phrases. Could you just say that for us?
I mean, when I get really excited, I said, that is sick.
like if you hang out with Song before long, you're going to know that's something that's really good. Yeah. Yeah. I felt old when I first heard you say that. Because I'm like, no, it's not sick. It's good. Yeah. So, Song, you dipped into an area I want to go, so I'm just going to take that segue into it, and that was the idea of identity. You know, you and I have had some really good conversations. So oftentimes in a business, it's common for us to be, our identity becomes so intertwined with our work that it's hard to pull those things apart sometimes in a healthy way. Yeah. You know, and you mentioned facing that. I've seen that with colleagues, people even in the room, you know, oh, you're that guy or you're that guy, you know. You know, thank you for being this person from that business or that thing. What are you learning in your own heart about the hard spiritual work of making sure your identity is who you really are?
Yeah, I know some of us people in this room are not all necessarily believers or per se anyone can come. But for me, I would say my biggest identity is that I'm a Christ follower, that I'm a disciple of Jesus Christ. I think it's hard. It's extremely hard. My life can be all about Chick-fil-A. I jump into my car, I get text. My life revolves around Chick-fil-A a lot of times. I was exiting out to come to this thing and our quarterly super big health inspector just shows up. And I'm like,
Today. Okay.
And I'm like, uh-oh, I gotta go here. It's so easy, but I think even just like in this past 5 months, if I'm being absolutely honest, it has been difficult to rest in the fact of like, who am I? Because oftentimes that my store is not doing well, then I feel like I'm failing. If my leaders are struggling, I feel like I am failing. If my team is not performing well, I feel like I am failing. And that can cause a lot of stress in my life. But even just this weekend, it's so funny. I actually took a little 2 days off to go to Canada. And it was really a reflection after my pastor asking me a few weeks ago and said, Sung, when was the last time that you spent an uninterrupted time with God? Where you didn't set up 30-minute conversation or 30-minute devotion time or an hour Bible study time, but you had an uninterrupted time with God. And I was like, can't remember. I don't know. Like, even on Sunday, I'm sharing this things in here. On Saturday, I'm doing this. And Monday, I'm preparing for the whole week. And like, I don't know. And he really challenged me, Sung, you got to take some time off and spend some time in solitude. And I went there and I went to Canada and I didn't even tell anyone, but I actually went to Banff in Calgary on Monday. I went to Banff and it was beautiful and it was just so amazing. And I just felt like I went there and I walked, I completely deactivated my phone towards the afternoon and dinner time. And I was just walking and going on a hike. And I just, it's just a beautiful nature. And I just felt like, you know how this is kind of funny, but when you're dating, when you're in a romantic relationship, you're just so happy just doing something for your significant other, right? You're preparing a gift like, oh, I'm going to go buy my flower for my wife. And I can't wait for my wife to see this. Or you're buying a Christmas present for your kids. And you're like, I can't wait until I present this present to my child and see their face just lighting up. Like there are those moments, right? Where as we are anticipating a gift to someone, that there is a self-satisfaction that comes, I can't wait, this is so exciting. And I was just walking, and I'm going through the book of Genesis right now, and I just felt like God's heart, as he was creating the creation, oh my, I'm creating these trees and mountains and these things, and I can't wait until I create Song on the sixth day and show this to the mankind. And it just felt so loved. And this past 2 days was just so significant for me that my identity is not defined by the performance of Chick-fil-A or anything that I do, but I'm defined for me personally. That's so important for me that I'm defined as who I believe have created me. And for me, that is Jesus Christ and that is God. And that was just so relieving and refreshing to just be reminded of that fact again. And it's so hard. And as a friend, Jonas, I will continue to ask you to remind me of that fact whenever I stumble on that. Whenever I come and say, Jonas, today was a rough day. And I pray that my friends around me like you would remind me of that.
And you have a lot of friends in this room that really have grown to love you and know you. One of the things that Sung works really hard at is to be humble, and I feel like it's my task to brag on him today. When he arrived here, he was the Chick-fil-A operator, but he also serves as a chaplain in the Army Reserves, and so the last month has created some unique challenges for our military and their leaders. I would encourage you, if you're a person of faith, to pray for Sung and the people that he serves. They have to be on standby, ready to go at a moment's notice. He also joined our FCA board, and were any of you at the FCA banquet last week? You know, what an incredible moment we had. We got to hear from Jalen Sundell, a Super Bowl champion, about his theme was Jesus is better. And I know it was just delightful to speak with you even, and then and to hear, you know, what joy that gave us. And then you've also served as a worship leader. You love bringing other people to know Jesus. And so when you see Sung out in the community, I just want you to know that about him, because and then it's another person we can pray for and cheer for, you know, and celebrate God at work. I have a lot of things I wanted to talk about. We are going to run out of time. But Sung, you were born in Korea, grew up in Cambodia to missionary families, You came to the U.S. You traveled around the world with YWAM in a season. Then you went to college at Taylor, right?
Yeah.
And the Lord provided for you every step of the way. When you look out the next few years, what's something that you're really hopeful for that the Lord might do in you, through you, with us?
Yeah.
You know, what do you see?
Yeah, I think that's a really good question. In Jewish culture, the age 30 is a leadership years. That's when rabbis can become a rabbi. I think my biggest hope and prayer is that I'll be a more effective discipler, that I can continue to be bold. I think my friends about a year ago mentioned, Sung, like, your hesitancy is too great of a cost for someone's salvation. I know it's so crazy that I'm moving back to my spiritual faith, but for me, that's just who I am. Like, it's Chick-fil-A will be great. We have great leaders who's part of this team. Like, I have no doubt that Chick-fil-A will be great. But that's not my common goal. My goal is that I will personally get to know more of God and experience him in the ways that I've never been, through the good and through the bad. But being able to really share that effectively to anyone who I come in contact with, to lead people to Christ. Because for me, that's, I can't explain my life without talking about the work that Jesus has done in my life. And so I think everyone needs Jesus, and wholeheartedly needs Jesus. And for me, that's my number one goal, to be able to share that to people that I get to meet.
Yeah. I love that. I started to write it down and I messed it up. Your hesitancy is too
great of a cost of someone's salvation.
Hmm. Yeah. Well, I have a little bit of a surprise. You have partnered with me for a surprise for everybody who came today. And friends, thank you for coming. Last month, I encouraged you to invite a friend, and I think some of you did. next month, if you do the same, we'll pull out more tables. I mean, this is a lot of fun. I'm really excited about, you know, that we get to keep doing this. Sung is just so generous, and I had asked him if he would consider bringing this book, and he was delighted to bring this. So as you're leaving today, Team Chick-fil-A is going to gift you a book that tells a story of Truett Cathy, their founder. He came from very humble beginnings, and he lived his life on principle, and God blessed that in a really special way. I wanted you to all have that. And then something else really special happened a few weeks ago at your store. And I had the privilege of being present and watching something there. See, I remember when Chick-fil-A came. I remember when Kimberly reached out to me, because I had made much of bring Chick-fil-A to Fargo, please. Some of you helped me with this in social media. And she reached out to me and said, hey, I am from Chick-fil-A and I'm coming to Fargo. And we ate at the best burger place in Fargo, JL Beers, okay? Because I knew she was a chicken eater. So I was like, we're going to JL Beers. And I remember just the hopefulness of those things. And I remember early on just celebrating with her some of her early hires. And I watched my friend Joe start to work there. And Joe's with us today, and he doesn't know I'm telling this story, and I'm not going to look at him because I want to be able to hold this together. But Joe's been so faithful there, and he serves so humbly. He has a position that not everybody would esteem to, which, tell us the title.
Yeah, dining room host.
Dining room host. Yeah. So they're often the first person that greets you. It's a beautiful thing. The culture of Chick-fil-A is what matters. And friends, I think that's what we can grab today, if anything. The culture matters. And we get to shape the culture. And our hesitancy is too great a cost for someone else's salvation. What an opportunity we have here in Fargo. And you honored Joe in a way that touched me in a place I didn't know. Because you honored a man who in so many ways lives out Jesus' commission, that where Jesus says, I've come to serve, not to be served, and to give my life for the benefit of others. One of my greatest passions is to help others see and to learn to see where God is at work. And friends, the work of honoring other people is evidence of God at work. And we've honored Sung today, and Joe, we celebrate you again, and Ruby on the scholarship, and so many other things. And friends, I just want to say, we have such a good message. We have been blessed with so much. Let us be the blessing that God wants us to be.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Power Lunch. While hosted by Bethel Church, the Power Lunch is sponsored by Area Professionals. We'd love to have you join us. Learn more about our next upcoming Power Lunch at bethelfc.com/powerlunch.
FM Power Lunch. Learn about your faith in the workplace at FM.